We've all heard the expression, Derech Eretz Kadma La Torah. Derech Eretz comes before Torah. We have a parsha coming up called Parshas Beshalach, followed by Parshas Yisro. Parshas Yisro, of course, talks about Matan Torah. And I think we will see Parshas Beshalach speaks a lot about Derech Eretz and the relationship between Derech Eretz and Torah. The expression Derech Eretz has a dual meaning. Derech Eretz is not an expression that you find in the sense that we're going to talk about it in the Torah itself, although, as we will see, the two words Derech Eretz do appear, interestingly enough, in the first pasuk of Parshas Beshalach. But Derech Eretz is Lashon of Chazal, language that we find in the Mishnayos and the Gemara. And it has two meanings. One meaning is, as we all know, in the sense of menschlichkeit, decency, sensitivity to societal norms, respect and courtesy for others when in Rome, and so on. That's one idea of Derech Eretz. The other idea of Derech Eretz is the notion of parnasa, making a living, earning a living, providing for one's material needs. Rav Shimshon Lefol Hirsch explains that both of these ideas are rooted in the expression itself of Derech Eretz. You'll see in source number 6, Rav Shimshon Lefol Hirsch says, Derech Eretz koleles kol davar hanoveya umusne mikach she'adam tzarech lahashrim es yiudo ve'es chayav b'tzavsa imzu laso al ha'aretz ba'idei ha'emtzayim ve'atnaim hanitanim lo min ha'aretz. Derech Eretz is the idea of understanding that one can fulfill their destiny in the world as a social being within the social fabric. That's how we find our fulfillment. And so this relates to, of course, earning a livelihood, parnasa, and also relates to the idea of getting along with society, being civilized, getting along with others. We find both expressions of Derech Eretz in the Mishnah. And we also find the relationship between Derech Eretz and Torah spelled out as well in the Mishnah. In Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, the Mishnah tells us, in Ein Torah, Ein Derech Eretz, in Ein Derech Eretz, Ein Torah. The Derech Eretz here refers to the notion of Midos Tovos, decency, menschlichkeit. And the Mishnah tells us, in Ein Torah, Ein Derech Eretz, Rabbi Yoan explains, Mish Eino Yodea Torah, Eino Sholem B'Midos Shederech Eretz. If a person doesn't have a knowledge of Torah, they can't really excel fully in Derech Eretz. Ki Rov HaMidos HaTovos, Shebederech Yo'olam B'Torahim. Most Midos Tovos can be found within the mitzvahs of the Torah. For example, when you have an Evet Ivri, for example, a slave that leaves, you give him a severance package, Hanek Tanik Lo, Mosne Tzedek Avne Tzedek, you have to have good scales and measures, you have to be honest. And of course, so many of the mitzvot of the Torah have to do with how to act appropriately between people. The Mishnah also says, the corollary to that, in Ein Derech Eretz, Ein Torah, explains Rabbeinu Yonah, שצריך תחילה לסכן את עצמו במידות, ובזה תשכון התורה עליו. A person first needs to have a base level of Derech Eretz, a basic decency, a sense of good character, and with that the Torah can come and do its part to create even a greater and more refined personality. שאינו שוכנס לעולם בגוף שאינו בעל מידות טובות. The Torah cannot dwell in a physical body that does not have basic midos tovos. A person can't say, let me first start with a clean slate, primitive as it can be, and just say that the Torah will have a magic and I'll suddenly become a good person. Lo shel yomot Torah v'achar yikachu hamidos, ki zeh yefshar. You have to start with an individual that has a basic sense of decency, and then you can take the Torah and go beyond for that. So here we have the Mishnah is dealing with the relationship between Derech Eretz in the sense of menschlichkeit, decency, good character traits, and Torah. And we have another Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in Perek Beis that tells us, Yafet Talmud Torah im derech eretz, shigiyas shnehem mashkachas avo. It's important to strike a balance between Torah and derech eretz. The derech eretz here, as explained by the Rambam and other Mefarshim, refers to parnasa. A person has to balance Torah and a livelihood. Person who has the means to support themselves and also finds time to study Torah can avoid doing the wrong things. Person doesn't have the temptation to steal from others if their needs are provided for. Yigiyas shneim, there's a sense of effort and commitment that goes into the drive for earning a livelihood, and all of that coupled with Torah is a good mix. Mashkachas avon helps you to avoid doing averos. So we have here the notion of derech eretz in the sense of work, in the sense of earning a livelihood. It's very interesting to note that the language of the Mishnah here, Yafet Talmud Torah im derech eretz, according to some Rishonim, would suggest that the more paramount thing in this balance, the senior partner, if you will, is actually derech eretz. This is pointed out by the Hagolos Maimonios in Surah 7, Rabbeinu Tam thought that the language of the Mishnah implies that derech eretz is ikar, because it says the first thing is Torah im derech eretz, together with the second thing, and so the im sounds like the second thing is paramount. We have to understand what this could mean, because the question immediately is asked by Rabbeinu Elchanan, one of the Balei Tosfos, Adarava, ikar is Torah. After all, the Gemara tells us that those earlier generations who made the Torah, the Keva, the main thing, Malacha, the earning a livelihood, was secondary, so they were provided for by Hashem with their needs, and they also had the Torah. But those who made the Malacha, the Iker, and Torah secondary, they had neither. So whatever the interpretation of Ben Utan is, we see a striking idea. That is that somehow the living of the Torah, as expressed in Derech Eretz, is actually the ultimate, and therefore Derech Eretz is seen from the phraseology of the Mishnah as being the primary aspect of this balance. So as I alluded to before, the language Derech Eretz is, in the sense that we've described it, is a language used in the Mishnayos in Chazal. But I don't think it's coincidence that if you were to do a search for the expression Derech Eretz in Tanakh, or in Chumash specifically, I believe you'll find one occurrence. And that is the first parasha, the first pasuk of Parashas Bishalach. Vayhi Bishalach Paro es ha'am, at the time that Paro sent the nation out of Mitzrayim, v'lo nachon Elokim, Derech Eretz Pelishtim. I know it's not Purim yet, but Hashem did not lead them by the road, by the path of the land of Plishtim, Ki Karovu, which was the kosher route, the more obvious way for them to go when they traveled out of Egypt. And the reason is described in the pasuk, Ki Amar Elokim Pani Nachem Am Berosem Melchama B'Shavu Mitzrayma. The fear was the people would be scared when they would see the Plishtim, and they would want to return to Mitzrayim. So we all understand that the words Derech Eretz here mean literally the path by the land, the route of the land of Plishtim. But perhaps there's another message encoded here in the Torah. Parshas Bishalach, as we know, is the parsha that precedes the parsha of Matan Torah. And maybe there's something about Parshas Bishalach that reflects the notion of Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. The more that we think about it, the more that we notice numerous examples within this parsha that speak to the notions of Derech Eretz and the two ideas that we started with. The very pasuk itself, Vayhi Bishalach Paro es Ha'am, and it was when Paro sent the people out. Paro sent the people out. Hashem did everything he could to convince Paro, and Paro kept saying, no, no, no. Hashem said, I'm hardening his heart. At the end of the day, Paro reluctantly had no choice with Makas Bechoros, and the people, of course, were free. What's the reference to Beshalach Paro Es Ha'am? Chaim Shmulevitz cites a medrash in Koheles, Yaakov Shimoni in Koheles, that speaks about Hanan and Mishael Azaria, the three tzaddikim who were thrown into the fiery furnace by the king of Babel, Nebuchadnezzar. And we all know that they were speared, they were saved. We say in our davening, Misha Anal, Hanan and Mishael Azaria, B'toch Kivshon Ha'esh, Hu Ya'anenu. The one who answered the prayers of these three righteous people, and they were speared from being consumed by the fire, he should answer us. The Medrash tells us that the Malach, who was there to make sure that they weren't burnt, was telling them, okay, it's time to go out. You're okay, you're sound, and you're safe, you're unscathed, you can go out. And they responded by saying, Ein anu yotzim ela b'shus Nebuchadnezzar. We were thrown into the furnace because of the edict of Nebuchadnezzar, who ordered us thrown in, and so we are going to leave only by the king's official edict that we may leave. Shelo yomu baruchu me'akivshon. Let it not be said that we simply ran away. Ani pi melech shmor. That's the protocol. The king said X. The king has to renege on that and say, now you can go. B'rishuso hushlachnu lekan u'b'rishuso anu yotzi. We have been thrust into this furnace with his official instructions, and so it was only with such instructions that we are to leave. Where did they get this idea from? The Medrash goes on and says, they got it from Noach. Noach spent a whole year in the Teva. Hashem ordered Noach to enter into that Teva for the year, to be spared the ravages of the Mabul, to survive. When it was time to leave, Noach already realized, when he sent out the Yonah a few times, at a certain point he realized that it was okay to go out into the world. And yet it took a special command from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Noach. Say min ha-teva. Noach, you may formally leave. You may go. Kishem shelo nichnasvi ela brishus kach eini yotzi ela brishus. This is that the Medrash says that Hanan and Mishael Azaria understood from Noach that they ought to wait for Nebuchadnezzar to give them the official permission to leave the Kivshon Ha'esh. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz raises a fascinating question. Hadvarim mafri'im, he says. It's an unbelievable and remarkable thing, especially when it comes to Hanan, Mishael, and Azaria. Regarding Noach, Hashem told Noach, go there for your own good, to save yourself from the Mabul. So Noach is going, Hashem is his best friend. Hashem says, go into the Mabul, I'm saving you and your family. So now Noach understands that Hashem is on his side, Hashem sent him in, Hashem will tell him when it's time to leave, let me not jump the gun. When it comes to Nebuchadnezzar throwing these tzaddikim into the furnace to burn them, what's the point of waiting for his permission to leave? Yet, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, we see in this medrash an incredible notion. Roim anu mikan. Adheichan magas midas derech eretz shechiva Torah. How far the idea of derech eretz can go? Shekevan shenichnisu b'rishus hamelech. Af shalom nichnisu ela huslechu. They weren't exactly invited in, be my guest. It was the idea of literally being thrown. Yet, they knew Hashem had saved them. It wasn't as if they were in danger, let's understand. Once they were speared, they understood that Hashem was going to save them and they were going to remain alive. Now it's just a question of, per se, do we leave without permission? Or do we wait for the formal permission that is granted to leave? Given that context, they felt, based on what they saw with Noach, Ein zu midas derech eretz lodges shelo b'rishus. They didn't let their emotions get the better of them. They understood that, given the situation that they're in, they are, understand, it's not an issue of pikuach nefesh at this point. It's a question of simply protocol. And so, let's wait for Nebuchadnezzar, who saw the miracle, witnessed it, understood the message that God was sending him, let him tell them, now you may leave. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, this is also the meaning of the very first pasuk in our parashah. Vayi b'shalach paro esa'am. So the Medrash Tehillim tells us, she'amar Moshe leparo, ein anu yotzim ad she'ata m'shalech osanu. You are the king. We have been brought into this country. You are the host country. We remember the time that there was a hospitable kingdom. But it all started with the society that we're in. They were hosting us. Yet it has deteriorated to the point that it has. Now Hashem has clearly come to our defense. But now it's time to leave, and we want you as the official king to tell us that we may go. Ubir divi chazal halalu heim al derech masha omar noach she'enu yotzim natev ela b'shus v'cheinam l'chanan mishav azariah, as mentioned earlier. V'chein Yisrael lo yotzu m'mitzvayim ela b'shus paro. And of course Hashem could have had them leave without paro giving the official sanction. They could have gone out during Makas Choshech. But there's a message here about the idea of Derech Eretz. Mishum achiyuv shel midas Derech Eretz. And that remains the message. In the midst of everything else that's going on, there's the idea of Derech Eretz. The protocol is, we've been hosted by this country. Now we're leaving. Let's get the formal exit order by Paro. B'shalach Paro esha'am. Mind boggling. I just happened to come across a comment of the Chassam Sofer. This is in Parshas Va'era, which I think dovetails with Rav Chaim Shmulevitz's idea. Again, it's something which is quite remarkable. And he explains a pasuk in Parshas Va'era based on a similar idea. Moshe Rabbeinu is part of the negotiations in the course of the Makos. Paro wants to give in somewhat. And Moshe says, no, it's not the way it's going to be. Paro says at one point, Makas Arov, I believe, if you want to offer worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu God, do it here in Mitzrayim. You don't have to leave for 3 days to do it outside. And Moshe responds by saying to Paro, Lo nachon la'soskein. It is not fitting for us to do it here. Ki to'avas Mitzrayim nisbach Hashem Elokeinu, because what we're taking is the deity of the Egyptians. As we know, the Karban Pesach was... That's why it was such a significant act for the Jews to take the Karban Pesach. It was the god of Egypt, symbolized by the sheep. Moshe says to Paro, we should take that and we should slaughter it and offer it as a service to Hashem in the front of the Egyptians. They will stone us. This is what Moshe said at the point of Makas Arov. So the Chassam Sofer was wondering, why the expression, lo nachon lasos kein? Lo nachon, it's not nice, it's not fitting to do it. We don't want to get stoned, right? That's not about lo nachon. Lo nachon means it's not quite the right thing. It doesn't fit. It's not mat'in. Secondly, says the Chassam Sofer, what is Moshe afraid of? Hashem is showing Paro who's in charge. It's already been 4 makos. Of course the Jews are not going to get stoned. Hashem will protect them. Hashem will see to it that whatever the Egyptians try to do to harm the Jews, Hashem will show them and put them in their place. So what is the meaning of Moshe's response? Says the Chassam Sofer, Hachi Ka'amar. Moshe Rabbeinu means the following, Lo nachon la'anashim tzadikim kamonu. We have a higher ethical standard, and it's not appropriate for us, Lidmo ra l'mitzriyim, asher anachnu gorim ba'artzam, to act in a way that's going to cause unnecessary harm to the Egyptians, who are, in fact, the country that we're living in their midst. The Adanu, and we're well aware, in Nisbach Reinehem, if we will offer the sacrifice in front of them, Lo Yisperuzeh, they will not be able to tolerate that. The Avoh Sakreinu Bavanim, and they're going to come to stone us. And we're going to be provoking them in that way. The Alkei Navi Aleihem Makos Rosh Vitzoros, as a result of how they act, based on our provocation, we are going to be indirectly responsible for them to get even more makos, and we could avoid all of this by simply saying, we'll do our worship not in front of you, not in your face, but out of Egypt. And by doing it in Egypt, it will appear, the nira ki'ilu hamadnu lehem mitzudos utzudam, as if we're setting up a trap for them. Ligram lehem ra. to cause them to get punished. And that's something that we are sensitive to. V'lo nachon zeh la'anashim yisharim kamonu. And because we have a sensitivity to this, we don't want to just provoke for the sake of provoking. And therefore, that was the specific message, according to Chassam Sofer, that Moshe was telling Paro, lo nachon la'asoske. I think it's a mind-boggling interpretation. Again, important idea, and I'm sure a controversial one. In any event, this all relates to the first pasuk in Parshas Bishalach, in terms of Bishalach, Paro es Ha'am, Paro giving the formal permission. That's the notion of Derech Eretz, getting the permission from the king. Going on in the parasha, just a few psukim later, another expression of Derech Eretz, basic gratitude, expressed in what Moshe does before the to leave Mitzrayim. Moshe shows that gratitude to Yosef HaTzadik, who had given special instructions before he died, that when it's time to go, they should take his bones, make sure to bring it out of Mitzrayim with them to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan. Vayikach Moshe atzmos Yosef imo ki ashbi ashbi asbnei Yisrael emor pakol yitkodo kimeschem valisem es atzmosai mizeh itchem. This is a basic expression of gratitude. Yosef HaTzadik, all that he did for the Jews, for the family, for Mitzrayim, this was a request that he asked of them before he died. Moshe Rabbeinu made sure to attend to that request at this very juncture, and this is mentioned right here at the beginning of Parshas Bishalach. If we shift for a moment to the other idea of Derech Eretz, Derech Eretz in the sense of parnasa, livelihood. We all know that the model for this in the Torah, for the idea of having one's needs provided for by Hashem, we do our part, but Hashem, of course, is the ultimate provider. Poseach es yadecha u'maspiel cholchai ratzon. The model for that, the archetype of parnasa, is the story of the man that fell daily in the Midbar for the 40 years. It begins to fall where else but in Parshas Bishalach. And the Mishtabura, in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, explains that there is a minhag that the Mechaber cites to recite Parshas Haman every day. That means the section in this week's Parsha that describes the man falling and how the needs were provided for over the time that they were in the desert. To say this, and there are good Jews to this very day that do it. As a matter of fact, there's a school abroad that especially this week, the week of Parshas Bishalach, and I think it's mentioned that one should do it on Tuesday, which is the day of Kitov. Kitov is mentioned twice on Tuesday, to specifically say Parshas Haman with the Targum as a special skula for Parnassa. So this is the notion the Mishnah Berurah brings here, that one should say Parshas Haman in order to affirm the belief shekol mezonosav ba'im bashkacha pratis, that all that one gets based on their whatever efforts they put in, it's not based on their efforts, but rather it's coming because Hashem is the one that provides everyone what their individual needs are. Hamar belo hedif, hamamit lo hechsi, as we found with the man, everyone got what was needed for them. La'oros she'ein libo yahishtadlus mo'el me'uma. It's not about how much you put in, it's about the belief in Hashem who will provide. And so the Yerushalmi brings kol omer parshas haman muftach lo shelo yisma'atu mizonosav. Now it's quite easier to engage in derech eretz in the manner that the Jews did in the Midbar, where they did practically nothing. Whatever it was, they had to take a couple of steps, however far it was, depending on their level of righteousness, to pick up the man and bring it home. But the message still is the message of parnasa, the message of derech eretz in the sense of one having their needs provided for. And it's in this week's parsha that the Torah establishes that precedent for derech eretz in the sense of parnasa, and that's Parshas Haman. I'd like to go back now to the other more common, as we refer to it at least, in terms of derech eretz as menschlichkeit. And I'd like to focus on another section of the parasha that I believe has very much to do with the notion of derech eretz as in menschlichkeit, decency, understanding what civilization demands of us and how to be a good member of society. And that's in the episode described in the parsha right after Kriyas Yamsuf. And it's interesting that we read this not just as part of our parshas B'Shalach, but whenever we read the section of Kriyas Yamsuf on Pesach, on the seventh day of Pesach, we don't end the reading with the end of the story of the Shira, but we go on and incorporate the psukim that follow here as well, the psukim that describe what happened 3 days after Kriyas Yamsuf. Just after Kriyas Yamsuf and the great high that they had experienced, the Jews had experienced, Zekeli van Vehu, so then they had to move on, and they're traveling now into the Midbar. After having experienced everything they saw and experienced with the Egyptians being drowned, and they traveled for 3 days, the Torah tells us, and they had no water. And they began to complain, where's water? They were very exhausted, they were very tired, they couldn't live without water. They came to a place known as Marah. The Torah tells us that the water there was bitter, and they were unable to drink the waters of Marah. They called it, therefore, Marah. They cried out to Moshe, what shall we drink? Moshe cries out to Hashem. Hashem gives Moshe an indication of some kind of a twig, some kind of an herb. Moshe throws it into the water. The water becomes sweet. And the pasuk continues in Chavdalid, Sham Samrol Choku Mishpat Visham Nisahu. There in Marah, he placed before them, either Hashem or Moshe, gave the nation Chok U'Mishpat, laws and ordinances. V'sham Nisahu, and there he tested them. V'yomer im shemo atishmo ko Hashem lokecha, if you will hearken to the voice of Hashem, v'yashav v'inav taseh, you will do what is just in his eyes, v'azan tolo mitzvosav, v'shamayat toko chukav, you will observe his mitzvos, then kol machlo sh'esavti mitzvayim v'ashim alecha, you will not become ill, all the illnesses that Egypt suffers will not befall you. Ki ani Hashem Rofecha, I am your healer. What does it mean, Sham Samrol Choku Mishpat, that he gave the nation statute and ordinance in Marah? So the approach that Rashi quotes from Chazal, this is something that we have a tradition about, that there were a selection of mitzvos that were already given to the Jews in Marah, almost like a precursor to Matan Torah. We know that there were mitzvahs given already in Mitzrayim that we read about yesterday in the parasha. Kiddush HaChodesh, HaChodesh Zalachem, Karban Pesach, the Yom Tov of Pesach, Tfilin, and so on. We have, of course, Matan Torah, where we heard Aseres HaDibros. But we also have a juncture in between called Marah, where they received a selection of mitzvahs. Rashi says, Samlo, that they were given selected portions of Torah, she is Asku Bahem. The sense in Rashi is that these mitzvos were given not so much as commandments, but rather as selections of Torah to engage in, to study, to be involved in, to get oriented, to get comfortable with Shabbos. So now we know Shabbos was given before Matan Torah, and Shabbos was given even before the Mon. As we know, when the Mon didn't fall on Shabbos and it fell double on Friday, they learned about Shabbos there, but they also heard about Shabbos prior to that in Marah. Paraduma. Paraduma is certainly a chok, and yet they were given this mitzvah, at least to think about it, to contemplate it, in Marah. And dinim. Dinim has to do with all kinds of dinim relating to people, interpersonal relationships, maybe those dinim in Parshas Mishpatim, torts, and all kinds of things have to do with how people can live among each other in a society. Now that's the tradition that Chazal have about the specific mitzvahs in Marah. Rashi leaves out another mitzvah that Rashi does mention elsewhere, and that's Kibud Av Ve'Em, that according to Chazal was given as well in Marah. Now the Ramban analyzes Rashi's comments. This you don't have on your sheets, but he has an interpretation of these mitzvos not to be commandments, but as I alluded to, as mitzvos that they should engage in order to get familiar with the mitzvahs that they're going to ultimately become commanded in at a later point. But after discussing Rashi's comment, the Rabban offers his own interpretation of what Choku Mishpat means. What was it that the Jews were given in Marah in this form of statute and ordinance? Ramban writes as follows, Surah 16. The alderech hapshat, the simple way of understanding this is, kasher ichelu lavo b'midbar hagadol v'anora. They were now about to enter into the great, awesome wilderness, b'tzimon asherin mayim, an area that is dry, without water. Somlehem b'michyasam b'tzorcheihem min hagim asher yinhagu b'hem ad bo'am el eretz nosheves. He placed before them certain routines, certain customs that would serve them well in an environment that is far from civilization, but they'd be able to hold on to these routines and these norms until they got to civilized land. The word chok has the connotation of custom, protocol. Hatrifeni lechem chuki, says the pasuk in Mishlei. Chukos shemayim va'aretz. Certain routines, certain structures. V'yikare mishpat b'yoso mishuar kehogen. Mishpat means that is measured exactly this much. This is the structure. Not more, not less, more or less. This is it. V'chein koas adavid ko mishpato ko hayamim. This is the way he did things. This is what Yosef told the Sarah Mashkim. You're going to go back to your old job and you'll be able to do everything you were doing the way you did it before. The same routine, you go back to it. So the Chok and the Mishpat represent a certain measure, a certain structure that they are to understand and incorporate in their lives during the time that they're traveling in the Midbar. Rabban elaborates on this, as he continues, he says, "Oh, she yasvein bechukei hamidbar." Moshe disciplined them with certain rigors, certain structures of the midbar. How do you relate to such an environment? You're going to have periods of hunger. You're going to have periods of thirst. Tolerate it. Understand you have to have the mettle that it takes to get through these kinds of situations. Let me orient you. Let me give you a sense. Let me give you a sense of what to expect. Lispo harav ad sama. Tolerate the challenges that will be facing you now. When you get hungry, when you get thirsty. Vikro b'hem el Hashem. Direct your pleas to Hashem in a sophisticated way, in an appropriate way. Lo derech tluna. Not like a child or someone that's primitive that just is going to complain without any understanding. But channel it in appropriate manner. Mishpatim. What's mishpat? Sheyichyu behem. How to live in this environment. Le'ho vishes ve'yehu. To love one another. To be friendly. To be social. Le'esnaig batas haskenim. To listen to the advice, to the counsel of the elders. There's a system here. We have older people, they have more life experience. They can offer their counsel to the younger generation. Don't do your own thing. Don't run wild. Don't think I know it all. Respect authority. Respect the elders. Hatznia leches bi'aleihem. Exhibit a sense of tznius, of modesty in your tents. Binyan hanashim b'ayiladim, in the way that you relate the men to the women, how you relate to the children. Don't just act on your impulses, but understand that there's appropriate norms of modesty. How to relate to one another, how to relate to family, how to relate to children. How should parents behave? How should spouses behave? How do you relate to those who come from the outside into your environment, into your bubble called the Midbar? Others might be coming in. You know, we don't read about this in the Chumash. It's not directly relevant for us. But there was a society that lived for 40 years in the Midbar. There may have been people that crossed their path, that came in, had interactions with this Am Yisrael in the Midbar. Those who came into their camp, act appropriately, put on a good face, relate with courtesy to them, be friendly. Limkor lehem davar, if they want to buy something, sell it to them. Tochachas musar, shelo yu kemachnos hashogalim, asher yasu kol toev avoyis bo shashu. Don't be like a band of marauders running loose, looting. We know, unfortunately, with the tragedy that we all know occurred in Haiti, you also hear reports of people acting totally inappropriately, uncivilized, looting and doing things that are totally beyond what would be considered normal as civilized people. But this is what can sometimes happen in the face of challenges and crisis and a vacuum of leadership. And so Moshe has to set up a system here to understand that you're not just going to run amok here and there, doing whatever seems fitting at your pleasure, without any sense of restrictions, doing whatever is taboo, kotoeva, without any shame. There's a sense of tzniyus, there's a sense of appropriate relationships and civilized norms. And all of this, like the pasuk says, kisei machna livachem nishmartim mikol davara. In other words, behave yourselves. And Moshe was establishing all of this in Mara. And Ramban quotes a pasuk in Yeshua as well that he interprets in a similar vein, where Yeshua set up choku mishpat v'shchem, not referring to the system of Torah laws, as much as a system of how to relate as a society. And the Gemara mentions the numerous conditions that Yeshua established in Eretz Yisrael, and so that would be alluded to in the words choku mishpat as well. So I think you hear, having this Ramban, a fascinating application of the notion of derech eretz kadma l'Torah. Here in Mara, Moshe set up a system of what we really would use as a casual phrase for all of these examples Ramban is saying. He doesn't use the term derech eretz, but all of these would fit very much in the spirit of derech eretz as getting along, understanding how to relate, how to be civilized, how to respect other people's sensitivities, both internally and externally, and so on. The idea of Derech Eretz Kadmo HaTorah, the expression itself we'll see in a little while, comes from the Medrash in Parshas Tzav. And in the context of the Medrash, the idea of Kadmo HaTorah means chronologically. The Torah was given in the 26th generation of creation. That is to say that we know there were 10 generations till we get to Noach, another 10 till we get to Avram, and then from Avram to Moshe Rabbeinu, we have another 6. So we have 26 generations from creation till Matan Torah. And Derech Eretz preceded all of that because there's a reference to the word Derech in Parshas Bereishis. Not Derech Eretz, but interpreted in the Medrash as a sense of a way of life. But the Mefarshim take the Medrash not just in a chronological sense, Kadma chronologically, sequentially, but rather, derech eretz in the sense of menschlichkeit, kadma l'Torah, meaning as a prerequisite to Torah, in the vein of Rabbeinu Yonah that we saw earlier in Ein Derech Eretz, Ein Torah. I'd like to just develop that for a little bit, in the words of various Nefarshim, to see how far this goes. Not just that it's important, but it's literally a prerequisite. It's something that's totally expected before you can get to first base with Torah. And also to the extent that one is held responsible and liable for lapses in Derech Eretz, even if there was no formal commandment. Sosa Lanter is fond of referring to the fifth volume of the Shulchan Aruch. Sometimes you're obligated, not because it says it here, this chapter, this verse, this simon, this sif, but simply because one understands that that's how a person should behave, and that could be mandated based on common sense, based on what one should understand on their own, that's how one behaves. And we see how far it goes. The Gemara tells us in Erevin, Rav Yochanan said, "Umale lo nitna Torah, even had the Torah not been given, hayinu lemedim, we would learn certain basic attributes from the world around us, from nature, from the animal kingdom. Tznius mechatul, we would look at cats and we would learn the midah of tznius, of modesty. Gezel minamala, we'd look to the ants and how thrifty they are and how protective they are of not letting anyone take from anyone else. Arayos miyona, derech eretz mitarnego, as explained by Rashi and others, that each of these animals has something to teach us about basic aspects of how to live, basic midos. Rabbeinu Nisim, one of the Gaonim, writes in his introduction to Shas, "Kikoa mitzvos she'en tuyin b'svara uva'uvnesa deriba." All mitzvos that are a function of one's own intellect and what one's heart recognizes is true, "Kvar hakom mischayvin b'hem." Everybody is bound by this, obligated. That means from the time of creation for eternity, if it's something that is based on the obvious instincts of how a person should be, it's logical, then that makes it binding. Even if it doesn't say it here or there, it's obvious, one understands, one is obligated by that. The Chizkuni explains, how is it that the Dor HaMabul were punished if they were not commanded in the mitzvos? Whatever mitzvos they were commanded, but they were violating some mitzvos that were not technically part of the regimen of Zayin Mitzvos B'nei Noach. They were not given those particular mitzvos. How could you fault them? How could they be punished? Says the Chizkuni, Yesh kama mitzvos shechayavim b'nei adam l'shomam mikoch svaras hadas. People are obligated because of the fact that it just simply makes sense. Even if you were not given a commandment, it's understood that this is how one should behave. This is very much part of the Muslim movement. When they extol the idea of Derech Eretz and Derech Eretz Kadmu Torah, you find the same types of ideas. I just have a couple of sources, but you can really flesh out even more. The Saba from Slobodka, the Alta from Slobodka, has a sefer Or HaTzafun, which has his various shmuzin that he gave, and he speaks about Derech Eretz quite often in his sefer. This is just one of the references. Says the Alta from Slobodka, Kishet Izbone Nire Shamidos Vatchunos Heim Hagdama LaTorah V'hu HaYisod HaRishon B'mehusar Shel HaAdam Shavilado Enenu Roi V'tkal LaTorah. Having good midos is the basis for Torah as a human being. You can't talk about a person who observes Torah before you speak about a person. And a person means Derech Eretz. Therefore, the Torah doesn't even mention specifically that many commandments in the form of midos. There are, you can find here and there, references to an Isser of Gaiva, according to various Mefarshim, but you certainly don't have the range of midos tovos as commandments per se. You have mitzvos that reflect these particular qualities and obviously sharpen them and hone them and develop them further. But on the most basic level, the Torah doesn't need to do it because it's already assumed that a person has it. And that's the meaning of Chavav Doros Kadma Derech Eretz LeTorah Ki Kol HaMidos VaTchunos HaKovos Kelulos B'Derech Eretz Ve'en Hutbu'u Ba'Adam Mitivo. They're ingrained in a person by his nature. A person is created yashar, as the Pasuk says in Koheles. Being yashar means that you understand within yourself how you should behave. You don't need Matan Torah for that. And what the Torah is coming to do is take that to the next step, to go to even higher levels beyond. Rav Dessler in Bichtav Melio says it in his own way. Shoresh hachiyuv hazeh. The root of the obligation of Derech Eretz and Midos, Tamun b'chiyuvenu la'adam b'asher hu adam, is rooted in our identity as human beings. And again, if you look up the source, you'll see a lot more in this as well as he develops it. I just took two sentences out of there. Ki mi she'eno makir es chiyuvei hakavod klapei hazulas. A person doesn't appreciate how they should show respect to someone else. They're lacking the basic attributes that are needed to succeed in Torah. Rav Tzadok HaKohen, we're moving away from the Muslim movement now to other thinkers as well. Rav Tzadok HaKohen says that Sefer Bereishis is the book that precedes Sefer Shmos in the sense that Sefer Shmos is the book that gives us Torah. Sefer Bereishis is the Sefer that teaches us Derech Eretz, Shekadmo LaTorah, which has to do with creation. Dor HaMabul were destroyed because they breached the idea of Derech Eretz. Everyone went their own way. Anarchy broke out. Everyone felt that they're entitled to feed their own needs at the expense of others, and to engage in all kinds of taivos because that's what they wanted to do. It was a hedonistic society, and that's a breach in Derech Eretz. That led to Arayus, and led to Gezel, and everything else. They were nevdu min hayishuv. They were destroyed from civilization because they were uncivilized. If you can put it a different way, fish live in the water, and we know the expression in the Mishnah, that fish are constantly swallowing one another. If we didn't have a system of government, it could happen. We could deteriorate to that extent that we would act toward one another like fish. And so what happened to Dor HaMabul? They acted in that way, and so the water overflowed society, and civilization was no longer civilized as civilization, but it became like the system of anarchy existing under the water with fish. But that's Rav Tzaddok's idea in terms of Sefer Bereishis. Rav Soloveitchik, again, far from a Musinik, has a beautiful drasha that I had the privilege of helping to publish this a number of years ago in a Sefer, Beis Yosef Shaul. And it was a drasha he gave entitled, A Mensch ist geglichen zu Sefer Torah, A Man is Compared to Sefer Torah. We develops the idea that just as when it comes to a Sefer Torah, you have the parchment and you have the ink. In order for the ink to stick, you have to have parchment that's treated. If it's treated appropriately, then the ink will not get erased easily and it will stay. And so Soloveitchik develops the idea that there has to be, for the human being, the sense of the ibud haklaf, to work the surface. The equivalent of the klaf is the primitive tendencies that we might have to be developed so that we can shine and be worthy of Torah, and that's the notion of Derech Eretz. If you have that, then the Torah will stick. Rav Soloveitchik goes on and says, that's the difference in the relationship between the Bechira of the Avos and the Bechira of Klal Yisrael, the first Bechira of the Avos that we read about and how they excelled in Midos. That is the Bechira in this sense of Ibud HaKlaf, of working the parchment. And when you get to the next level, that's the notion of writing the letters. It occurred to me that if you think about what we saw with the Ramban in Mara, and how Mara, as the precursor to Matan Torah, represents Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, we can explain something that we ask for every day in a bracha that we recite before Shema. The bracha of Ava Rabba is a bracha where we petition Hashem to enlighten us in Torah. But we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu first, Ba'avu Avosenu Shebatchu V'cha, because of our forefathers that trusted in you, V'talam Deim Chuki Chayim, and you taught them statutes of life, Kein Tachanenu Shalam Deinu, so should you teach us as well. Seemingly, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to teach us Torah. And we go on. We go on and seemingly ask for the same thing in a more elaborate way. We ask Hashem to enlighten us, to teach us that we should know Torah, we should keep Torah. And we go on after. And the question is, what is the first petition and why do we need to say it again? We talk about Kein Techanenu Yisalam Adenu, Hashem, you should teach us. So why do we go back and say again, Ten B'libeinu L'Havinu Ahaskil? But I believe that the first petition is not a petition for Torah itself. Rather, it's a petition for Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. If this is a bracha about Torah, we have to start by asking Kadosh Baruch Hu to give us the basic qualities of Derech Eretz. And only then can we go on and ask for Torah. Who are the forefathers that we mention here? Avosenu, Shebatchu V'cha. We would think first to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But actually, that's not how the Rishonim explain it. The Abud Ram, explaining this bracha, says that Avosenu, Shebatchu V'cha actually refers to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, to those who left Mitzrayim, who trusted Hashem, as we read in the Parsha yesterday, not having food, the little bit of matzah mar they had left over from the Seder that night, that's all they had. They're going to a midbar. The nace, of course, was that it lasted for a month till they got the man. Who could have anticipated that kind of a miracle? But there was tremendous trust that they exhibited in Hashem to go out of Mitzrayim, to follow, as Yirmiyahu Anavi extols in the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyahu, Zachartu l'chesed nurai l'chavas k'lasayich l'echtech acharai b'amidbar v'eretz lo zeru. I remember your incredible kindness that you did for me, to show, to demonstrate the faith that you followed into the midbar without knowing how you have your needs provided for. Knowing Hashem will provide the derech eretz in the sense of your livelihood, But it led to something else. Batalam dein chukei chayim. So now, taking that interpretation of Avoseinu as a reference to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, and this is my own chiddush, this is not in the Rishonim, but it would follow perhaps very nicely, that Batalam dein chukei chayim refers not to Matan Torah, but Batalam dein chukei chayim refers to the experience of Mara, as we saw in the Ramban, that the experience of Chokum Mishpat in Mara was a system of Derech Eretz. The Ramban says it al Derech HaPshat. As Rashi noted, there were mitzvos given in Mara, but if you think about it, even those mitzvos in Mara are not just random mitzvos, but those mitzvos also reflect the notions of Derech Eretz. Kibbutz Ave'im, certainly we understand, is the basic expression of gratitude. Shabbos is a message that you can't just do anything that you want, but there's a day that you have to rest. It teaches discipline. Dinim certainly is all about Derech Eretz. It's a system of law, of how to get along, understanding that you're liable if you do something wrong, you step on somebody's toes. Even Paraduma can be seen as that message of sometimes you don't always have to have all the answers. It's just a chok. And so the mitzvahs of Mara as well are a reflection of the Ramban's interpretation of Pshat, that Mara was that precursor to Matan Torah in the sense of Chukei Chayim, how to get along, how to be a decent person, how to live in a society with others and respect the needs of others. And so we need to start with that petition and say, Kein Techaneinu Selamdeinu, ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us the proper Derech Eretz. And then we can proceed from that to ask further for Ten B'Levenu, L'Havinu, L'Haskil, and so on, V'Horinen V'Sarasach. I want to conclude with an incredible medrash, and this really is the source for the expression Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. I don't know which clock I should be looking at, because there's a 5-minute discrepancy. So, what's that? I see. Okay, well then if that's the case, I maybe should just read this medrash. You want me to follow this clock? Okay, with your permission, Derech Eretz, I need to ask your... Okay. Okay, then we're going to go with this class. Okay. Rabbi Yannai was a great rabbi, and he had a certain epiphany that occurred from an interaction that he had with an individual who he thought was a great scholar, turned out to be anything but that. He was great, but not as great scholar. Rabbi Yannai learned from this experience that Derech Eretz has incredible value, even if, for whatever the circumstances are, a person never really got to Torah itself. But Derech Eretz is a world unto itself that sometimes can even equal the level of Torah. Rav Yannai was led to interpret a pasuk in Tehillim based on this interaction. It says, "V'sam derech harenu b'yesha lokim." Says Rav Yannai, "The sam derech can be read as v'sham derech." If you evaluate your ways and you really live with a sense of introspection, with a sense of respect for others, you are going to also receive tremendous salvation from Hashem. And the story goes, Ma'aseh Rabbi Yannai, who was walking on the road, v'ra'a adam echad shahaya mishupa b'yosei. He saw a man who looked very distinguished. Rabbi Yannai was very honored to invite this person to his home, and he asked him, Mashkech Revi miskabel gabon, would you please come and be hosted by me, I'll give you a great meal. Amalo in, a man accepted the invitation, Echniso Lebeso. Rav Yannai brought him into his home, Hachilo Hishkeyu, he gave him a nice, wonderful meal, of 10-course meal, food and drink. After the meal, Rav Yannai was looking forward to a great Torah conversation. Bedoko b'mikra, started talking about the parish of the week, expecting to get all kinds of wonderful insights from this great person. Velo mitzo, he found nothing. The person apparently didn't know very much when it comes to Chumash. Well, sometimes it happens. You don't know Chumash, but you know Gemara, you know Mishnayos. It could happen. So he went to another area of Torah, Mitzvah B'Mishnah. B'Mishnah. He asked him something in Mishnayos, Lo Mitzvah. Again, a man didn't know. B'Agada, V'Lo Mitzvah, B'Talmud V'Lo Mitzvah. Whatever area of Torah it was, he found the person ignorant. Amalei Sabirich. So he was pretty much frustrated. He says, okay, take a cup of wine, read the benching. Maybe there was a third person there. Whatever it is, read the benching. Amalei Yibarach Yannai Bevesi, the man declined. Apparently he couldn't even bench aloud to be motzi Rav Yannai. you bench. It's your house, you bench. Amar le isbach, amar mada ana amar. Say after me. Repeat after me what I tell you. Amar le in, fine. Amar le emor. Echol kalba pista di yanai. A dog ate the bread of yanai. I gave food to a person who was unworthy, not even a person. Pretty harsh. A lot to say about this image of a dog. We don't have the time. But certainly it was an insult. We can understand that. Kom tafse. The man reacted in such a way, he literally grabbed Rav Yanai. Now realize, he could have just turned the other way and just, that would have been the end of the story. But the story does have a happy ending. The man grabbed Rav Yanai and he said the following, Yerushasi gabach, the atmo ne'ali. My heritage is with you. You're withholding my heritage from me. I wasn't privileged, but you're holding this from me. You're withholding my heritage. Amalei, my Yerushasach Gabi, what are you talking about? Amalei, Chazman, one time, Avinu Avar Kami Beis Shifra, I was passing by the school, the Cheder, the Shabbos Kohen Dominikaya, and I overheard the sound of children, the Armin, and this is what they were saying. Tol, Ratziva, Lanu, Moshe, Morasha, Kilas Yaakov. I heard the words for the first time, but I heard Kilas Yaakov. Morasha kilas yanai engsiv kan elo kilas Yaakov. It doesn't say it's the exclusive club kilas yanai. It says kilas Yaakov. I'm a member of that club too. So Rav Yanai was taken aback, to say the least. Amalei. So now he continued the conversation. Amalei. Lama zachisog michal pesori. Hashem brought you to my house. I gave you a 10-course meal. You must have some merit. If it wasn't what I thought, it must be something else. Why did you merit to come and enjoy my meal? Amalo. And the man said, this is the way I've been living my life. Amalo. Miyomai lo shmois mi labisha v'chazarti lamara. Number one, I never heard a bad word and brought it back to the person. One way to explain it is, if I was insulted, I didn't respond in kind. Another way to interpret it is, if I heard someone saying something about someone else which was negative, I would not bring it back to the person it was said about. We call that bechilus. I was careful not to do something that would fan the flames of machlokas. The second thing, Ochamis Dain trained in Miskanshin Dain and Dain Bro Yahavis Shloma Beineo. And I never saw two people arguing that I did not involve myself personally to create harmony between them. This is how I've been living my life, promoting peace and avoiding machlokas. And so Rav Yanai heard that and he said, Kol hadar derech eretz gabach, you have such incredible level of derech eretz, the krisach kalva, and I had the nerve to call you a dog. Koralei shom derech, deshay morchei sagi shavi. One who evaluates their way is worth unbelievable amount, priceless. The Amar Rabbi Shmuel, and here we have that famous expression, 26 generations before the Torah, there was a derech eretz, lishmor es derech eretz achayim. First comes Derech, then comes Torah. This story, I think, is a very powerful one, and it should really inspire all of us. Sometimes it's easy to feel better than other people who have not had the benefit to be as intellectual as we are, to have been exposed to the kind of knowledge that we're exposed to. It's easy to feel somehow smug and superior. And this story tells us an incredible lesson, teaches us an incredible lesson of how Derech Eretz is so important, and as we've seen, the importance of Derech Eretz and how critical it is to be able to have it in order to attain Torah. So as we think about Parshas Bishalach, the parsha that begins with the expression Derech Eretz, perhaps in a different context, we should also be able to internalize the lessons of Derech Eretz of Kadmula Torah.